Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Acts chapter 15, where we see that the gospel still has some obstacles to overcome. You know, when you're learning to drive a stick shift of a car, there's a careful balance between the accelerator and the clutch, not to mention the brake pedal. Learning to coordinate them in the right balance means you're ready to roll and burn some rubber. Well, the Gentiles were ready to roll. The gospel had hit them hard, but the apostles back in Jerusalem needed them to shift gears slightly, but didn't want to hit the brakes and slow down their momentum. God was obviously moving, but there were a few issues they needed to address with the council in Jerusalem to discuss how Jewish the Gentiles needed to be if they became Christians. Everything came to a head in verse 1. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, "Unless you're circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved." Before we talk about the subject matter, I want to clear away some confusion. Why does it say certain people came down from Judea? Because when you look at the map on the back of your Bible, they had to come north. So why does it say come down? Well, in those days, the up and down referred to elevations, and to a Jew, Jerusalem was on a hill, and Judea was hill country. It may not have been the highest elevation in the world, but to the Jew, it was the center of everything. Any direction out from the temple in Jerusalem was going downward in their eyes, and in the case of these Jewish believers, Judaism should have been the center of the universe to the Gentile believers. Unlike Paul, these jokers, these certain people, were teaching that the Gentiles had to become converted Jews before they could become Christians, or else you cannot be saved. And Paul and Barnabas weren't having any of it. Verse 2. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." Now, if you've read the book of Galatians, you'll probably know this is exactly what Paul was dealing with in that letter. The Galatians had listened to these, quote, certain people who came down from Jerusalem. This made them believe that in addition to trusting Jesus, they needed to circumcise themselves. It's Jesus and salvation. Just know, if you're trusting Jesus and anything else to save you, then you're not really trusting Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is, circumcision, any good works, or anything in the law at all. If you don't know what circumcision means, forgive me, I'm getting flashbacks of teaching Galatians as a junior high pastor. Mistakes were made. Circumcising was the removal of the foreskin on the male private anatomy that marked a Jew as belonging to God. The Jews saw it as their special identity. And if they were going to unite with the Gentiles in worship, then the Gentiles would have to make some alterations. Verse 6. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and address them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you, that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear. No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. It's a mic drop moment, verse 12. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. James, by the way, at this point, is leading the team in Jerusalem, so his word carries weight. Verse 13, "Brothers," he said, "listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, 'After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things, things known from long ago.' It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood." Remember when I talked about what it was like to drive a stick shift in a car? Did you catch James pressing the clutch and the brake pedal at the same time so the Gentiles could accelerate out of the turn? Here's James pressing on the clutch in that last statement. We should not make it difficult. And here's him pressing the brake. We write a letter telling them to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from sexual immorality, and from meat of strangled animals. Okay, the sexual immorality is a no-brainer, but the other two, food sacrificed to idols, things strangled, these were just a bridge too far for the Jewish believers. They weren't saying that they needed to observe those to be saved as Gentiles, but it was more out of consideration for their Jewish brothers and sisters that they don't do these things. In fact, in Romans 14, Paul unpacks that it's not a problem with God to do either of those things, but it was a problem for the weaker brother, and in this case, the Jews. And to them, it was just gross. So Paul, as a good missionary, tells us, hey, if it's a big deal for your brother, maybe you opt for love over your freedom. After all, love is the summation of the entire law. It's a mature argument meant for mature believers, but at this stage, the church in its infant stage is trying to figure it out. Applying the clutch and shifting the gears a little means they don't have to hit the brakes, and the gospel can continue to rev up throughout the Gentile world. And be glad of that, my friends, because if this meeting in Jerusalem in Acts 15 did not go well, you and I would be acting a lot different today. You can thank Paul when you get to heaven for that rare steak or that ballpark hot dog. The apostles write the letter, appoint Silas and Judas Barsabbas to accompany Paul and Barnabas to take the letter back to Antioch where it's received with great joy. Whew, we don't have to do surgery on our bits now. And from there, Silas and Judas, as amateur mailmen, take the letter all over the Gentile world, encouraging all the Gentiles with the official word from the 12, those closest to Jesus. But Paul has a hunch. Maybe the Galatians are in trouble. Maybe they've stopped trusting Christ. Verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Great plan. One problem. Verse 37. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement, they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. And with that, my friends, Barnabas sails straight out of the book of Acts, where we don't ever hear about him again. Verse 40. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Well, I've got to put the brakes on today because of time. But I'll be with you next time, hitting the accelerator with the apostles on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.